joined this afternoon by Kyle Larson after an eventful Sunday at Pocono. We kind of just touched on it briefly before I hit record here, but the end of the race obviously didn't go your way, and kind of read what you saw, what you said to Racer earlier today. But in your eyes, how did the Denny Hamlin incident kind of unfold to you, and how are you feeling afterwards?
I mean, I still feel the same about it. If anything, even worse about it, just because, you know, now I've had time to listen to what he said and you know, a few of the things as far as I had an option to lift, which I did. He didn't touch me, which he did. Yeah, I'm probably a little bit more frustrated now than I even was yesterday, but it doesn't change the result, you know. It I expected it in turn one, just because he was successful with it last year with Ross. I thought he would race me a little differently than he did to Ross, but apparently not. So now I know that going forward and know how he races.
So the race yesterday as a whole kind of played out unique from a strategy perspective with, you know, the beginning of stage two, you essentially had, you know, 20-ish laps of caution with those early incidents there. But, you know, how do you feel like the whole race played out, and you know, what are you taking away, at least on the positive side, from yesterday at Pocono?
Yeah, I mean, well, our race was very interesting because, you know, we were one of those cautions. We were actually the last little, you know, of the few cautions that happened in the beginning of stage two, the last one, where we got spun and got into, you know, backed into the wall a little bit, got some damage, but then, you know, from there had to figure out how to gain track position. And, you know, it's impossible to drive from back where we did to the lead by just purely passing people, but we're able to, you know, get off strategy a little bit from the lead pack guys on fuel. So we were able to have shorter pit stops than them as the race progressed. And that's how we got our track position and then ultimately got to the lead. So super proud of the team's effort there and coming up with the winning race strategy after we were, you know, dealt kind of a bad hand there to start the second stage. So the day could have been really good. You know, we lucked into winning the second stage because of fuel strategy, and then the caution coming out late, and then, you know, if we don't get run into the wall, you know, we win or run second, third, and have a the best day of anybody. So you could have, should have, would have, didn't play out that way, and whatever, but you know, we still got a playoff point, all that. You know, our day could have been a lot worse than it actually ended up being. So you know, just kudos to Cliff, Adam, Cal, all the engineers at the track, the shop, for coming up with the right strategy, and then, you know, pit crew executing quick pit stops and all of that to get us in position to win.
So your season as a whole, I guess kind of the thing that sticks out to me is your crazy accident earlier this year where the side of your car essentially became pretty exposed after that contact. And I know NASCAR was going to go back and kind of discuss with you and kind of review what happened. Are you know, comfortable with the direction of the safety of the new car and everything, you know, whatever discussions you've had since that accident earlier this year?
Well, I think we're all pleased that, you know, after that wreck, and even before it, you know, NASCAR, I think, was trying to find ways to make the cars a little bit safer, because the way they were, you know, the new cars were a lot more unsafe, I feel like, than the previous car, as far as, you know, the impacts and how we feel them through our body. Sure, you know, there's a lot to it too that was better, but anyways, after the Talladega wreck, yeah, I mean, they moved quickly, which I liked to see. I think all of us like to see how quickly they moved to, you know, make modifications to the race cars, which I think have been fully implemented now as of a couple weeks ago. So, no, that part of it's good, but I hope they continue to dive deeper into the safety of this car, or whether they have to fully modify and make massive changes to it to make it even better. But I'm not an engineer also, so I don't know the right things to do. I can just tell you when you hit a wall with this car versus the old car. If a car hits you, it hurts a lot more than the previous car.
Is there a particular change from the old car to the new car that is causing, when, and I've heard it on the radios when guys hit go like, holy shit, I've never hit that hard in my life. Like, is there, is it suspension? Is it the body? I mean, I don't know if you know, but from your standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I think the cars are just way stiffer.
Okay.
The chassis itself, the old car, especially the rear impacts are much worse in this car than the old one. That's why you've seen way more concussions these days, the last year and a half or almost 2 years now, of just because the rears of the cars are way stiffer than the old style cars. So, but yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a bummer that it is more unsafe than the old car. But they realize it, and
Sure.
NASCAR is trying to fix it. So, that's great that they do have our safety in mind. But yeah, just got to keep as they do. I mean, every week they're diving into the series and how to make it better, and safety is a big part of
So
it.
kind of going off, slightly off topic, you race a lot of different cars. You've raced a lot of different cars in your career. You're jumping into the Indy 500 next year, which I'll ask about in a second. If you were to look around the world and you're like, listen, I even if it's just a test day, is there one, racing series you'd love to just, rip a car around the track for a little bit that you
Gosh,
haven't?
I don't know. Yeah, no, I've raced a lot of different types of cars, but there's obviously a lot more cars out there I haven't raced. But I don't know. I mean, I'm really excited about the IndyCar opportunity next
Yeah.
year with McLaren, Motorsports, and IndyCars.com. Having being in a Chevy for that's gonna be really cool. So that's obviously it's on my radar, it's on my schedule, so that's the one I'm looking forward to the most. So I haven't thought much outside of that what else to run. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think driving a Formula One car is a realistic opportunity, but it would be amazing if that ever came about. But I highly doubt, as a 31, almost 31-year-old American, I don't think that opportunity is ever going to come.
It seems more and more elusive for racers on this side of the world. But speaking of McLaren and the Hendrick operation, how long did it take for that op, that program to come together before it was, finally announced earlier this year?
I don't know exactly the details, but it was more than a few months, for
Sure.
sure. So, just I think, it needed to be with a Chevrolet team. I wanted to do it with a competitive team. So, yeah, they were able to you put a deal together, and like I said, I'm just super excited about it. They were watching this year, seeing how fast they were too. I mean, that makes you even more excited. So, I hope they're that competitive again, next season.
Yeah, so we kind of saw you there hanging out with Pato a little bit. You were on the pit stand. Did you kind of start asking questions, a year in advance to prepare? How immersive was your first experience at the track?
Yeah, I didn't spend too much time there. I didn't really want to get in anybody's way, so I was kind of just more so a fly on the wall, really.
Sure.
I'm asked questions a little bit, but more so just kind of listen to how they communicate differently, and just kind of taking in a practice day. We went for I don't know, day two or three of practice, so just kind of wanted to see what that was like, how relaxed it was or not relaxed it was. Then I went back on race day just to get reminded how crazy the event is. So I'm glad I
Yeah.
did all of that.
Yeah, is there obviously the race is the most, exciting part of the Sunday, but with all the pageantry and tradition, is there, are you excited to just get to experience a full Indy 500 race day, from, the cannon going off at 6 in the morning, and now they have fireworks at 6 in the morning, to, back home again in Indiana and everything else involved? Is there, is that also exciting to, somebody in your shoes who's, going to be racing in it for the first time?
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, I don't think I get to get the full experience, right? Because I've got to get out of there as soon as the race is over to get back to Charlotte from the 600. So both times I've ever been to the Indy 500, yeah, I went in 2013 with Chip Ganassi, and we jetted out of there like as soon as the race was over and flew to Charlotte to catch the 600. And then, you know, this year when I was there, I only got to stay for about 50 laps and had to leave. So I've never really truly got to experience the
Full
event,
day.
you know, from 6 a.m. to, you know, 10 p.m. or whatever when it finally dies down. So, and I won't get to do that again next year, but maybe, you know, me having experience of jetting out of there fast is good and got me for next year.
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run, where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals that you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along the Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate two engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!
All right, so I'm going to go totally off of racing here. This is definitely the toughest question we ask every driver. You're going to add a song to our podcast Spotify playlist. It's something that either you're jamming out to right now, you listened to before a race, you have
Okay.
total authority to add whatever you want. Todd Gilliland
I don't.
added something last week. I forget. It's all over the place. EDM, metal, country. It's a little bit of everything.
Gosh. I don't know. The one that comes to mind, and people probably laugh, but it's because my kids have it stuck in their heads from a commercial on TV. I think it's a Chevy commercial, but it's Lainey Wilson, Heart Like a Truck. So they sing it all the time, stuck in my head too, you know, sometimes. But I don't know, lately when I've been working out, I'll have Spotify up, and I just discovered Big Booty Mix on Spotify's. It's a good one. It's kind of a it they remix a bunch of, I mean, all sorts of songs, EDM to country to rock, rap to all of it, and they, you know, mix in. It's really good. It's good energy for working out.
I will report back on that. I'm going to the gym in about 2 hours here, so I think that'll be on my list. So just a couple more, and I'll give you back the your afternoon here. But rewinding many years ago before you got into racing, what was your, you know, what was your inspiration? You know, what was the what did what made Kyle Larson fall in love with racing all those years ago?
That's a good question. I don't know. When I think back to like when I started racing go-karts and stuff when I was, 7, 8 years old, really, I think it was just the friendships. Like I just could not wait to get to the racetrack on Saturday to see all my friends. All my friends were from the, not all my friends, but majority of my friends were from the dirt track. So I remember the weeks being so long, and I couldn't wait to just get there and play with them and make memories, and then also get to race and compete against them and try and win and have success, all of that. And then, as that progresses, as you get older, nothing really changes, right? Like all my best friends are still from when I was 7, 8 years old, racing with them at, Cyclone Speedway or Red Bluff. And, I still get to race with a lot of them today, when I go race dirt track stuff. So, nothing's changed. It's and then too, once you have kids, you get to relive all that through like your parents' eyes, seeing them build friendships and build memories. So I would say the competition, yeah, but I'd say just the friendships and memories that were made at the racetrack was probably the most important thing.
Nice. We'll wrap it up with one here, one more here. Again, appreciate the time this afternoon. Is there another driver out there in any racing series right now that you look at and you go, you know, I want to emulate his on-track activity. I want to emulate, you know, how he handles adversity, you know, any, you know, whether it's on track or off track that you go like, you know, I, you know, really appreciate everything, you know, this guy stands for or this lady stands for.
I don't know about right in this moment, but
Or it could be a past driver.
I think in the past, I got to race with Jimmy Johnson. He was still winning championships and races all the time, and he just was such a good guy. Like, you never really saw him get into altercations, or sure, he would get frustrated with drivers or even frustrated with me on track or whatever, but he was never arrogant. And I feel like I try to be like him. I probably don't do nearly as good of a job at being, a good guy all the time, but I want to be a great race car driver like him. And I want to, be a lot like him off the track as well. So I would say when I really think about myself, I feel like going through moments like yesterday, I feel like, I am a lot like Jimmy in that sense, So, but you can always handle situations better. And I'm sure Jimmy thinks of times where he could have handled things better too. But yeah, I think he was a great role model for a lot of young race car drivers. And I'm very thankful that I got the chance to race with him and you'll be a fan of his as well.
Awesome, man. Well, listen, I'll wrap it there so you can get a little bit of downtime in your day. Best of luck the rest of the year and see you at a racetrack at some point.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, man.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.